Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined again by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi again, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
And Rick Lovers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, it's getting close to the summer driving season, but you might go out to your car and find it's not there. What's going on in the area?
Yeah, apparently the number of vehicles stolen in the city of Duluth spiked last year, jumping nearly 43% from pre-pandemic levels. Altogether, 303 vehicles went missing. The vast majority, however, were recovered within 5 days or less, according to the Duluth Police Department. That's not to say all those vehicles were in great shape. When they were recovered, the police said that they were found repainted, and the interiors are often trashed or littered with hypodermic needles in some cases. Now, Duluth appears to have a bigger problem with vehicle thefts than would be expected for a city of its size. According to the latest stats available from the FBI, they show that the per capita rate of vehicle thefts in metropolitan areas nationally was about 235 vehicles per 100,000 inhabitants. That was from 2020. If you put Duluth into those norms, you'd expect to see about 203 vehicle thefts annually, but the 2021 numbers exceeded that mark by nearly 50%. Duluth police say that many of the thefts could probably be chalked up as joyriding. Vehicles are most often taken when they're left running or when the driver has left a key or a key fob behind. The recovery rate for the stolen vehicles has been hovering around high 80% to lower 90% range. Police say that the vehicle thefts can be difficult to prosecute, particularly when the stolen property is abandoned. Police have had success bringing charges against responsible parties, sometimes as a result of video surveillance or when an individual attempts to flee a missing vehicle. The good news here is that unlike the Twin Cities, Duluth has not seen any recent carjacking activity to date, according to the Duluth Police.
We'll be thankful for that, but watch your keys. And assuming you do have your car, you might want to drive out to a lake, but even though it's May, it may not be what you hoped for.
Yes, spring 2022 could go down as one of the later ice outs for far northern Minnesota lakes, according to the Minnesota DNR. And that may mean some lakes won't be ice-free in time for the May 14 Minnesota fishing opener. All northern Minnesota lakes have blown past their average ice-out dates, in some cases a week or more behind their long-term average, as a frigid winter and cold spring have maintained lake ice far longer than usual. As of Wednesday morning, with about 10 days to go before the fishing opener, not a single lake north of Minnesota Highway 200 was reportedly ice-free. So the good news, however, is that last weekend's rain, coupled with a forecast of plenty of sunshine and warmer temperatures, is helping free up lakes with their ice. The consensus is that most lakes south of U.S. Highway 2 in Minnesota will be ice-free by May 14, while some lakes in the north may not. So anglers who are heading north should call ahead to bait shops, resorts, and lake residents to make sure their destination lake is open.
All right. Well, whether there's ice on the lakes or not, the smelt are jumping, and in Duluth, they're walking down the street.
Yes, the quintessential only in Duluth happening. The smelt parade is returning to the lake walk this Sunday after a nearly two-year hiatus due to the pandemic. When the smelt start running, the wacky parade takes place on the lake walk, featuring oversized puppets, a smelt king and a smelt queen. And there's stilts and music and people parading to Zeitgeist where they sit down to eat fried smelt. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the inaugural smelt parade. It's timed to the spring spawning run of the small silvery fish. The smelt run is a Northland tradition dating back to the middle of the 20th century, when smelt, officially native to the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans, were first discovered in Lake Superior after being accidentally introduced via Lake Michigan. This year's smelt parade will begin Sunday at 3:30 p.m. With a gathering and performance on the lawn in front of the Lake Superior Maritime Visitor Center. The second line parade will then proceed eastward along the lake walk, and Zeitgeist Cafe will once again host the smelt fry and dance at 5 p.m.
All right. Well, Danny, if those smelt want to venture to the Wisconsin side, they might be able to jump on a cruise ship.
Yeah, that's right. The city of Bayfield will now be a tourist destination for Viking Cruises, which is a cruise line that's based in Switzerland. And KBJR TV reported this week that those cruises are set to begin at the end of this month and go through this summer. And each ship that visits the city will be stopping for about a day before heading to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so the city and its Harbor Commission have been working to come up with a security plan, and they've been working with the U.S. Coast Guard. And those plans include a new screening station for visitors that will be funded in part with a $95,000 in funding from Viking to help pay for it. The cruise ships are going to anchor out in Lake Superior, and then smaller boats will shuttle people to the mainland so they can be screened when they come on shore. And the ships will visit the city on Tuesdays throughout the summer. And as you may or may not know, Viking Cruises also has stops in Milwaukee. And they recently announced that their Viking River Cruises will have voyages up and down the Mississippi River. And that will include stops in La Crosse as well.
Well, back in Superior, on a more serious and healthful note, there's an initiative to improve mental health services.
Yeah, Superior Mayor Jim Payne proposed a new initiative this week that's aimed at expanding those mental health services. And the city has a roughly $50,000 grant that it's looking to provide to the Encouragement Clinic in Superior, which is one mental health provider in the city. And the clinic has been trying to address issues with providing access to Medicaid patients in Wisconsin, because Northern Wisconsin and Superior have struggled to maintain providers that offer those services to those patients because the state's reimbursement rate for providing care is much lower than neighboring Minnesota. And so sometimes they'll lose providers who decide to provide their services across the border in neighboring Duluth. And so this clinic is trying to provide services to a mix of patients who have private insurance and then those that have the state-funded Medicaid to be able to offer those services. And this grant would pay for a provider at the clinic that would offer services to uninsured and undiagnosed kids or young people. And this is kind of tied to the Superior School District because they've cited increasing issues with mental health and more behaviors among students, like an uptick in illegal behavior and kids missing school during the pandemic. And so Mayor Payne says the idea is that these students could receive group therapy through that clinic and use a combination of peer support and professional services to help them and those who are struggling. And so the grant will cover about a year of services, but it still has to be approved by the city council at its next meeting.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Cady, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read about all these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music from Homegrown, the more rockin' side, if you will. Here's Ryan Van Sluten and Supertax with Doesn't Change a Thing. Stay safe, everyone.